I just wanted to verify. I don't think so.
Is somebody breathing hard on you? Who's that?
Probably Sean on the microphone.
Oh.
Alright, I'm going mute again. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Assignments from the Most High, and He requires of us to do them. We are not going to be immune from the questions from the Most High when comes our time to be asked if we don't do them. And we will not like giving any excuse for an answer whatsoever. Who just came in?
Coco.
Hey, Coco. We're already started here.
Okay.
It is important to know what we're doing isn't an exacting science. What worked today won't necessarily work the same way tomorrow, and in some cases might not work at all without specific modifications or adjustments. Sometimes we don't want to do the same thing the same way because of new information. We must be willing to adjust, adapt, and incorporate modifications if and when they are needed. We have all developed a great deal, both spiritually, as well as developed a library to use in our invocations over the bit. Who just came in?
Danny.
Hey, Danny. Danny, we're already in the middle of things.
Okay.
We have done invocations of truth many times and have found great success. We invoke many specific directives with tremendous success. We have made belly balls. We have obliterated hurricanes. We have stopped wars like what we did with Pakistan. We have created them like what we've done inside the Democrat Party. Lately, we have created and charged a specific body of light for ourselves, and we have created and charged a specific body of damnation, which we've condemned many to hell. And we're seeing significant consequences of those actions. We've done many things that have shown up as specific handprints of our work through the events of the day. Sometimes we see it in the news, hear it on the radio, or we just know it to be happening because we've connected a bunch of dots. Now we need to turn our burners up. We're going to use all these tools that we currently have in our command, and we're going to learn to do and apply them as invocations of virtue. Exactly what is virtue? Well, there's a lot of statements out there in the world like pillar of virtue, meaning one who is pure, honest, dependable. But what does that person think of themselves? One thing is sure and certain, they are very aware of themselves and their surroundings. Without being asked, they offer help, assistance, and advice. How did they know help was needed? They knew by being cognizant of their surroundings and what is happening in their presence. Being aware of oneself, condition, energy, and strength is all a matter of virtue. Just like when you have a flu, you ache all over, and at that time, there's no lack of virtue. You're fully aware of yourself, even when you're in a state of misery. Being aware of yourself as when you make a body of light or a belly ball out of your own energy is a process of virtue. Making a body of light to turn it into a body of damnation is a process of virtue. Making sun waves, securing and handling black fire are both matters of virtue. If you were not aware and did not direct these processes, they wouldn't exist. Our own personal energy is a matter of our own virtue. Becoming an expert in our own future and using it is the subject and purpose of this instructional. Each of you will have to review and modify all processes for yourself. For your own individual invocations, this isn't something that anyone else can do for you. This is something you have to think about it for yourself, study about it for yourself, learn about it for yourself, and apply it for yourself. Know that some processes will be modified when we execute invocations as a group. While we are going to work on these things as a team, we must also practice these things as individuals. You will never go wrong if you do your own homework, practice, and apply what you learn. Practice can be done with these things that you do every day in life. As is stated in the script of clarification, we are a constant and living prayer unto the Most High, including our every deed and very breath. While it is all true we wish we had more time to specifically practice, practice with things you do every day. Make everything you do a practice and a way of life. It might be surprising to some, it often works best when you do it that way as opposed to making dedicated time to practice. The reason is simple. You always have something to work with, and it is constant. It may be useful for some to consider the study, review, and practice as an exercise in the great elements. Thinking things through is a lot like air. The ideas are moving about in your brain. They grow when you want to accomplish something, and that's a lot like fire. If you you write them down, you're controlling them a lot like water. When they're written, they're manifested like earth. All things around you operate within the realms of the great elements. It may be also useful for you to know that the study of the great elements are things the great and mighty Seraphim still continue to learn from and do. And do not forget, they are from the first creation. Make no mistake, demons study them, and it is certainty that the Nephilim do as well. We're not going to get the desired victory against the Nephilim or the demons or demonic influences without proper application of the great elements and all the other skills we've been learning as a result of these instructions over the last few months. Don't be afraid to write things down if you have the time. Don't worry about grammar or spelling things correctly. You only have to concern yourself to make sure you understand your own writing and can rely on it. As an additional side note, when General Clark asked about restoring the Grand Council, one of the first tasks given was to write things down in a journal. The reason for the instruction was for everyone to get in touch with their own innate. There are also other important benefits of writing things down. It is a written record of our invocations, and it is a testimony that provides the necessary documentation for confirmation of our activities as to what we've done, especially when the handprints are manifested. It is also a written record of our invocations and accomplishments for future generations. And it is also documentation and support for those we will train as up-and-coming occurrence. Now, the writing, typing, recording, etc. is not a direct order, nor is it to be construed as one. It is nothing more than a suggestion that will help tremendously. We know people who have hectic schedules, and they simply cannot do this. Sometimes it takes out a lot out of people just to do the 8 o'clock invocations and the Sunday trainings. However, all these things we will do help us to understand ourselves more. As we continue to understand more, our definition of ourselves will become more a part of our individual selves and those of the group. The more your own personal definition grows, the more you'll be able to accomplish by yourself and enhance everything we do as a team. As you understand within yourself, what Bridger Malone brought up in the training before the invocation Tuesday, September 28th, how righteous anger and fearless impunity is the frame of mind to be in, you will understand how this frame of mind applies specifically to you when you do your own invocations of virtue and those we work together as a team. Who came in?
Sydney came back.
Okay. Everything you do will improve in direct proportion as to how you do your own homework, your own practice, and your own personal applications, and the effects can be immense and tremendous. The things that we do are not something we do simply because we're helping to get them done. It is us that must do them. The accomplishment and rewards for doing these things are rightfully ours. We are the Akarians. We're not helping the Akarians. The Most High refers to us as my beloved Akarians. And these are things we must do to be His people. When you do invocation by virtue, keep in mind that this is a process and we have to continue to build ourselves up and develop. Learning in many respects isn't necessarily mutually exclusive to doing it. We can and we will do things at the same time. So for taking apart the Democrats and the Socialists, we're not going to change the specifics regarding the invocation. We're just going to do things by virtue. Some people will get it easier and quicker than others. For those who need more time to get there, it's perfectly okay and very understandable. It takes time, practice, and application, and there is always room for everyone to improve. There are no exceptions. The reason we have to push ourselves to do things faster, quicker, and harder is because the enemy's targets, etc., we hit are many. Our world is being destroyed at an ungodly and unprecedented rate that only we, the Akarians, and those under the protection of the Akarians, can do anything about it. None of us wants to live through the horrors if we fail. We must get things down to cases more efficiently and effectively, and doing things by virtue is an excellent way of getting things done. Understand, all the targets we hit are those who are in violation of holy law and the Most High. Understand, He wants and requires us to hit them. Understand, it is our job and our duty to hit those targets. Understand, we're not going to like the horror if we fail. Understand, it is our job to be a witness of and a testimony of our generation, and that necessitates judging that which is and that which is not evil, that which is good, that which is righteous, that which is demonic, etc. Understand, it requires us where we are to do invocations on our own, which should never be neglected, and together as a team. Understand, we are the Atreans. Understand, the Most High desires us to be His people. Understand, these things we do are the things we need to do to accomplish just that. Again, this instruction is to open the door for the method of doing invocations by virtue and how to do them. And we are going to do them. You always have the option of doing any invocation the way we've been doing them all along because they work. Always remember, there is more than one way of doing something, and we have many tools to do them with. What is always important is being about the business, and that's what we do. The law of being about the business is just that, the law of being about the business. It really doesn't matter which process is best when you're about the business of doing it. Now, sometimes we don't have great days. When a day isn't one of those great days, you can always go back to basics. Sometimes it must work that way. You always have the option available to you. By the way, whenever we find we need to react to something and virtue isn't seemingly going to work, we go back to our well-rehearsed methods and practices and know work, and often they are very basic. Somebody's not on mute.
Sorry, hold on.
Are we ready? Okay, the foundation for doing things by virtue is to get a better understanding as to what it is. The chief gave us an example from the Bible where a woman with a blood issue sought to touch Emmanuel's garment to be healed. And Emmanuel knew she had touched him. The healing was accomplished by virtue. There is another example in Matthew 8:5-13 of an invocation by virtue. Emmanuel entered into a town named Capernaum and was greeted by a Roman centurion who sought Emmanuel to heal his servants. Emmanuel offered to go with the centurion, but the centurion said that all Emmanuel had to do was speak the word and the servant would be healed. Take some time to study that complete reference. Notice when the switch of energy of virtue occurred. Now, each and every one of you has done something in your lives by virtue. One way of looking at things done by virtue is to look at things that each of you know and understand so well. Who just came in? Hello?
It's Jesse. I got dropped off.
Okay. These are things that you know to do automatically without really thinking about anything specific. You automatically know what to do or how to respond. For example, Cheryl Clark has been a nurse so long, she automatically knows what to do with a patient, and what she does is by virtue of study and years of experience. General Stippel has fixed so many cars that he can tell you what's wrong with one by certain behaviors or sounds. It is very hard to stump him over what is wrong with a car. He, too, has done these things because he's been around cars all of his life and fixed thousands of them. General Munch has figured out unseemingly unsolvable problems in her work because it is automatic in her to read things. She constantly practices this skill and has spent a great deal of time developing it. General Malone used virtue to deal with her parents. After we worked through the bugs to get what she wanted to happen, the invocation she knew was, "No cat do." Three words, and her library of understanding, which took a little time to develop, Stella, what happened? Am I still on? Kitty, confirm.
Yes.
Okay. Again, I want to repeat that because it's kind of important. Joan Malone used virtue to deal with her parents. After we had worked through the bugs to get what she wanted to happen, the invocation she used was no cat do. Three words and her library of understanding, which took a little time to develop and practice. Brevette Major Ridge can look at something regarding a building and know instantly where something is jackassed. It doesn't take much for him to know whether the jackassing is people or materials. Sentry Martin did a kindness virtue. One day he took over to Bobby's house a chicken and some veggies and it helped make an afternoon pretty darn nice. All musicians in our group know what a C chord is and they know it automatically. These are things they know by virtue of practice. By the way, when any of you flick a stoplight and it changes to green, you all do that by virtue. Now, there are many things, there are many other things we all do by virtue. For example, cooking an egg. If you like your eggs fried, you automatically know to get the egg cooked once you've done it a couple of times. You don't need to reread a recipe book to do it. You don't need to call someone up for the instructions each and every time you cook an egg. Once you know, you know. Now, how fast can you think through the whole process? Let's mentally do a walkthrough. Follow and chant and attend these instructions in your mind's eye. Okay, ma'am. Did anybody come in, or was it somebody that probably popped out? Okay, well, we'll continue. Mentally, and in your mind's eye, get an egg out of the refrigerator, get the pan out of the cabinet, and put it on the stove. Turn the burner on, put the butter in it with the knife you took out of the drawer you used to cut the butter with. Watch the butter melt, crack the egg, and put it in the pan and flip it to finish cooking. What'd that take? About 30 seconds? You certainly can do it as fast as the script was read, right? By the way, did you notice that the butter just appeared? Did you notice that you had something to flip the egg? It is only when you think about it afterwards you think you have a problem with your own walkthrough because the butter and the flipper was missing in the written instructions but was there in the mental walkthrough you did when the words were spoken. Now, once you've practiced this mental exercise a few times, can the whole process be done with get and cook eggs? Absolutely. Some of you tried it just as it was said just now and got it done. For others, it took a little time to allow your mind to catch up with what you did mentally with the instruction, get and cook egg, which has been caught up by now in everybody's mind. Physically, it takes about a minute to read and mentally do the walkthrough. The mental walkthrough you do by yourself should take about 5 seconds with very little practice, like 2 or 3 times. And the last instruction mental of a get and cook egg can be done in about a second. It takes you longer to say it than it does.
there to accomplish it in your own mind. In fact, it takes you longer to recognize that you registered it in your own mind than it did to accomplish. This is a very important concept to pay attention to. So the goal of doing things by virtue requires taking the time to develop something that can behave like years of experience so that your actions and responses are or become so automatic you know what to do and why. Here's an important secret. The most effective shortcut we have ever found to figuring out some of these difficult things and paying the dues, if you will, is to write things down, as mentioned earlier. You cannot type them as effectively. They work best when they are written. Writing has a quality and a characteristic to it that nothing else can deliver. Now it is understood that not everyone is going to have the time to write things down. For those who do, if you will take the time and do it, you'll see tremendous benefit and growth. If you can type them, because that is your next best option, by all means, type. Some of you may find it helpful to do the recording. And if you do, do it. Any tool you can use to help you is important. We all use these tools, and we've used them for years. To continue with the study of doing things by virtue, the first thing you need to do is take the time to understand who you are and who you are with respect to the occurrence and your own innate. You are as you know and understand yourself to be. What it means and why you're involved in these operations in the first place. What does it mean to you to be a pathfinder, a true and righteous Kurva knower, and an Akurian? What does it mean to you to be a son or daughter of Akurian? What does it mean to you to be the sword of Aku or a daughter of Alicia? Review these things over and over in your own mind, and when you incorporate as many senses as you can in the process, the learning truly becomes yours, and no one can take it away from you. The more senses, see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, you can incorporate in the process, the better doing things by virtue works. If there is a second big secret, it would be to incorporate as many senses as you can in your learning and continue to expand them as you develop. So doing things by virtue is always being consciously aware of yourself, your surroundings at all times, and the ever-growing library you develop. Because you all know how to make a body of light, learn how to make a body of light always around you. Always practice this. And when you forget, just pick yourself up from where you are and do it again without any guilt trips. Making a body of light and charging it should take no more than 5 minutes for a beginner. One invocation of the word required should be all it takes to make it happen instantly if you practice. Come up with a word or phrase you'll use to create a body of light. Some of you may choose something like make BOL for your own practice. For now, attend to the words in this instructional. For purposes of this instructional, we'll use make a body of light. This should be done after the words are spoken, and it is very possible to do. Come up with a word or phrase you'll use to go up the plains of heaven and charge yourself. For this purpose, we'll say, go up the plains. And what you will do is go up Hathor, Hastra, Destra, Idea, Hakana, Hasana, and charge yourself with the energies of the plains of heaven. This should take no more than 3 seconds and can be accomplished as soon as the words are spoken. When you're at Hasana, charge yourself with the energies of Akasha, air, fire, water, and earth, and come back down and think of stacking all
energies of the planes, would charge in all the energies of the planes and come back down in proper descending order. Hasana, Hakarma, Idea, Hestera, Hastra, and Hathor. For purposes of this instructional, we'll say, charge EOL with the great elements and come back down. This should not take more than 10 seconds. With practice, it can be accomplished as soon as the words are spoken. Note. By the way, who came in, or was it somebody that popped out? No, this is not a replacement for the practice of what you'll do as prescribed for astral projection, but an additional enhancement to it. Astral projection practice is not to be ignored and will help with everything you do spiritually. Do not be foolish to think that this is a substitute for your doing your own personal astral projection practice. Now, back to the root of it all. For purposes of this instruction, we'll use the word etheric and put the charged body of light inside of you with the proper tensing of the body of light in your body. This should be done when the word is spoken with no other time lapse. Now, not everybody will experience the charging or sensations the same way when invocations are by virtue are done immediately. Some of you may see it, feel it, hear it, or a combination of these things. But in truth, it just takes the doing of it, whether you have the sensations of recognition or not. It takes time for the sensations to be registered so that it can be interpreted in your brain so that you can express the experience. All of this slows you down on the front end. Whether or not you can express it in the instant, it is done because you require your body of light to obey your order. Now, some of you will simply know it to be done because you will have done, as Brigadier Malone says, by trusting the process. And we have taken control of each plane's energies with your body of light as you go up, charge, and come back down, and put it inside of you. Some of you will think, I know, that this is going a little bit too fast, and for right now, it might seem that it is. However, because you have done this so many times, when we invoke as a team, trust the process and do it the best you can, whether you feel, see, experience it or not. As you practice on your own, you'll get to the same point of knowing and doing a whole lot more with a whole lot less of time involved. And always, if you need to go back and review anything specific, that option is available and you are always encouraged to do that. The next thing is to send your body of light as an angel standing in the sun and charge it with all the sun's energies as it burn off any remaining negatives. For purposes of this instruction, we'll use go into the sun. And what you're going to be doing is getting the extra charge of the sun's energies and grabbing some black fire. This should be done as soon as the words are said. For purposes of this instruction, we'll use body of light return to me. And make your body of light return to you and tense it in your body. This should be done after the words are said with no time lapse. You already know or should know which shape you want to use for your body of damnation. We've practiced it enough. We use the phrase, make a body of damnation. When you hear it, make a body of damnation and stick the black fire into it. And this should be done as soon as the words are said with no time lapse. You already know or should know which shape you want to do. And that's all there is to that. If if you have done the walkthroughs with General Malone in the last week, which most of us here have practiced and done, you are probably experiencing the same intensity, feeling, and recognition. It took paying the dues of last week to get to this point. It's now caught up in your mind in recognition. Now, since you already have a working thought and knowledge in your own library of why you are here and what you are doing, you know that you are in the perfect position of your own righteous powers and holy authorities and your own I Am consciousness. You already know that you are a servant of Supreme Lord of all High Lords, Allah Asher High, He that is called by the name of the Most High. We already have the permission, blessing, power, authority, and directive to do our job. The phrase we use is, all the blessings of the Most High are upon me. Nothing else is needed or required with any more words because you're already ready to do the job as required when this was said. You are also free to develop a phrase of your own for what you want to do for your own invocations, but when you do, don't make it too cumbersome as in having too many words. You'll know what you want to mean. Next, we'll use these invocations, which, by the way, a functional definition for the word invocation is transmitting thought, and do them as soon as the words are said. We already know these things, what these things are. Our libraries are as complete as they currently need to be, and they've been practiced and rehearsed many times. So, we've got all non-occurring religions exposed for their demonisms, demonic origins, and destroyed. The library, we already know this very well. We know that the religions are an abomination before the Most High, and they are to be removed from the earth. The next one. All waste mixing and waste mixers exposed and destroyed. Again, our library is fairly complete. We all know waste mixing and waste mixers is an evil before the Most High, and they are to be removed from the earth. All homosexuality exposed and destroyed. The library, we all know homosexuality is a vile before the Most High, and they are to be removed from earth. The recognition of who you are and why you are doing these invocations, the invocation for the destruction of the churches, the destruction of race mixing and race mixers, and the destruction of homosexuality should be set in motion to be accomplished as soon as the words are said. Remember, we're not just simply saying these words. We are also transmitting thought to accomplish something. Now, what we're going to do is make the body of damnation. Stand it out from yourself and declare it a body of damnation. For purposes of this instruction, we'll use, a body of damnation is completely formed. What you should have done is, you've made it, it is standing out in front of you, inserted the black fire, and declared it a body of damnation. This should take no more than 5 seconds. It can be done as soon as the words are said. For this instruction we'll use, a body of damnation is charged with the great elements. What you've done is charged the great elements, Akasha, air, fire, water, earth, for the deprivation as we practice many times. Again, this can be accomplished as soon as the words are said. Remember, those you put in your body of damnation cannot ever access anything from the heavens. The only thing they are going to do is be down
Brahma, Idea, Hestera, Astra, Hathor, or Earth. They are bound to the depths of hell beneath all the earth. Delos, Ganata, Hadesi, Gehenna, Helia, Hapernum, and Verdeton. This should not take more than 10 seconds. With a little practice, it can be done as soon as the words are formed. We'll call forth all, and we need all to come forth, which means and includes the archangels, winds, servant winds, the holy ones, the guardians, etc., into our presence to take everything away from those we are going to condemn and to Verdeton. For purposes of this instructional, we'll use all take everything away from the Democrats and socialism. However, whatever the target or targets you put into your bodies of damnation, it just takes the time to put them in there. If you have a lot, it'll take a lot longer. But it should not take more than 1 second per target. And don't put more targets in than you can be responsible for at any one time when you do an invocation by yourself. This isn't something to jackass here. As a side note, take some time and practice with the words that are absolute, like all, always, any, every, everything, never, none, nothing. These words are very powerful for invocation purposes in general, and even more so for invocations done by virtue. In fact, it'll be helpful for everybody to take a little bit and review some of the older directives that we've done. Now, when you name your targets, whether we do them individually or as a group, we're taking the Democrats and socialists of the Democrat Party as a group, and know when you do, you are finding your targets in all their parts of them forever to go into the endless depths of Verdeton. For purposes of this instruction, we'll use all Democrats and socialists are bound in my body of damnation, and I have judged you righteously for your abominations. When you do this, you already know within yourself that they deserve judgments of hell. This includes the punishments they deserve for committing untold and uncounted abominations and evils. The blues, the black flames, death, and agony of Verdeton will not spare them because your judgment is true and because of who you are as a Kurian, proven knower, or under the protection of a proven knower. They can't escape hell, and everything they do rots. For purposes of this invocation, we'll say, guardians of hell, do my bidding. What you need is the wheels of hell, black flames of hell, agony of hell, and death of hell will attend your judgment that none escape the body of damnation you created for your targets. The guardians of hell will burn those in the body of damnation you created. The guardians of hell will obey your judgment. The guardians of hell will slay everyone in the body of damnation you created. And all of your targets are consumed with all of Verdeton. Then, send your body of damnation into Verdeton. For the purposes of this instruction, we'll use, body of damnation, I send you to hell. Know within yourself, the body of damnation is cursed because of your true and righteous judgment. Perdition is going to do the job and will not do anything different until Alaku Allah Ashurai does something. And for all our intents and purposes, it doesn't matter to us what he does unless he specifically tells us. So to clean off, recharge the body of light within you, you know you're going to go up to the plains again, recharge with the great elements, and come back down and attach the body of light by cleansing it. We'll use the phrase, go up, clean off, recharge, come down. This should not take more than 5 seconds. In time, it can be done as fast as the words are said. For purposes of this instruction, we'll use, it is done. And we're done.
What this means is that we've closed off our invocation and have completed it. This can mean you closed it in English or in angelic if you so desire. Now, in conclusion, you can do all of this by your own virtue in less than 5 minutes. Make no mistake, we can do all of this as a team in less than 5 minutes. In fact, it can be done in less than a minute. All the work is always done in preparation. Always be prepared. And by the way, there are those who have already executed this particular invocation by virtue against the Democrats and Socialists in less than a 5 minute time frame, and we've seen the successes that happened. So, does anybody have any questions?
Well, yeah, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay,
concept about virtues, I find it very intriguing. And take, let's just say, take virtue as an energy of its own. Is there a way to use, from what I'm getting from what you're saying, virtue, as you're describing it, is an awareness of self.
Absolutely.
We'll use that as a short phrase. Awareness of self. Okay. Well, I'm going to submit that virtue exists as an energy whether or not one is aware of it. So it's not necessarily limited to the definition of awareness, of self-awareness. And as an energy, a raw energy, separate and apart from one's consciousness, can you suggest maybe a method or a use, a practical use for our purposes and our application of virtue? Whether or not one is specifically aware of one's own, or in perhaps in the growth process of developing that awareness?
Well, it's done all the time. When Bobby and I released all those spirits, and we had, it was just a case of being aware of where we were at the time, and
I'm talking about a deliberate application. A deliberate application of the essence of virtue with or without an awareness. Perhaps even an application, a methodical application, practical, in order to facilitate the development of virtue. Let's say I've got a couple things in mind. For example, virtue as an energy outside of oneself or inside oneself, but as a separate energy. Let's say we take something else. Or let's just say the Democrats. If we're going with that example. If we were to envelop the Democrats in virtue, in our own virtue, then that would maybe necessarily smother them out as demonic. Just completely smother it out as an enveloping. Or let's say, let's take virtue as perhaps used as say separated up into little balls or something, or use it like worms. If we were to take our virtue and infect something with virtue and have it act like worms, could that be, a further application? Something a little more practical, something a little more beyond just the self-awareness? using virtue as an energy?
Well, the bottom line is that I suppose that you could, and the reason why you could choose to make it that particular way is because what you would want to be doing is doing their virtue against them. In other words, it's also an application of what Bobby has instructed us all along, of use their energy against them. But what this instruction was to do and accomplish was how to increase our own virtue so that we can have a command over that dynamic of energy.
I'm suggesting rather beyond virtue as an inner level of awareness, extended beyond just an awareness of self into a useful tool.
Well, that's what the whole thing was.
What?
That's what this whole instruction was.
This whole instruction was a repeat of everything we've already done.
That's absolutely correct, but it was to do it by virtue rather than an invocation that takes 40 minutes to do.
Not really clear on how that, I don't see where the method comes in.
Are you saying, rehearse so much that it becomes so much a part of you that all you have to do is speak keywords and skill level is there? You're absolutely right, Rosalind. That's exactly what it is. Dead on the money. So,
that doesn't necessarily come across to me as virtue.
But it is to do, well, Pete, why don't you say it? Because you said it very well, too. It's to do what you want without ritual. But you want it to go automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Robin, just like you, they automatically know what to do when you've got a new patient. You don't have to reread the books in order to figure that out. Yoda doesn't have to go and figure out what he needs to do. It's always automatic. So when we see something that's wrong, we can instantly call it into account. And the way to do that is by virtue. By practicing enough so that it becomes automatic and get to that skill level where, like the musician, I guess, where they are one with the instrument. So as they think of the tune, they can just play it.
Exactly.
And their hands agree with what their brain is thinking without trying to figure out what the chords are.
Exactly.
You call it virtue is the transformation of the skill to being just liquid to you, and you just think of it.
Absolutely, Robin. That's
why somebody can touch you and take the virtue out, like the example you gave with the
Emmanuel
and the Roman God, or the lady that touched his garment, and that skill level. Which
well, that's why I think there's with the example with the Roman God. That's why I think there's an application outside itself.
Exactly.
Well,
I understand what you're saying, Kitty. What you're saying is, make it more practical on how to do that, how to get that automatic. And she's saying just practicing will get you to the point automatically where you can do that.
Well, I'm saying that there's more to it than that. It can be used in a practical application outside of self.
Yeah. Well, it's just like you use your body of light and make it obey you. You can do that with a body of light.
What?
You want to say outside of self, okay, so make a body outside of yourself and make it do what you want it to do.
Well, virtue is different than a body of light. And virtue can be used as an energy. A body of light does only in exactly what it's told. Virtue, by nature of an energy of its own, can take on a life of its own.
Well, that's how it is. You can make it do it, and even though it's an extension of your virtue, you still can make it do and behave that particular way.
I could set it on a course and have it adjust and mutate it on its own, like in developing something with virtue. With my own virtue, envelop. Consider it as a, let's look at virtue as though it were a magnetic field or an aura. Since it would be man, consider it as an aura, which as energy, you know what a magnet looks like? North pole, south pole, and there's a line going from the north to the south, and then fields of influence all the way around it, and as it comes in contact with another magnet, it would repel or it would attract. Then virtue could be used in such a way as that, and in a plane, magnetic energy is different than what it is here on Earth. It's the opposite. Bobby said that the other day, that light poles attract in the planes, whereas light poles repel here in the earth plane. So, using it in a spiritual capacity, using virtue as an energy of its own and of itself, then it could envelop something.
What are you talking about? You're not talking about virtue.
Yes, I am. I'm talking about virtue. As an infestation. Like worms.
I think you're kind of off of what the purpose of the idea was, that the use of your virtue is as a means of to get the universe, simply, you know, the energies to comply with your will on command. That was what I think. Maybe you're reading too much into this and trying to make it a little bit more complicated than it needs to be.
As a matter of fact, that's a very good summation of exactly what I'm saying. Giving the universe, the forces of the universe,
to
be into my will, or command.
In other words,
once you practice, virtue is a use for that, extended and expanded outside of self, outside of awareness of self. It can pass and be used. I'm not putting limitations on it. What I hear is limitations. That limitations can be, broken through and used in other ways. Bobby, you can break in any time.
Well, actually, you're both right. Well, let me see if I can get the difference.
Well,
the basis of everything that I teach, from start to finish, is that you don't need a damn thing but you. Anybody misunderstand that? You don't need anything but you. And you've heard me teach the lesson that if somebody put you under arrest, stripped you naked, and put you in what they call a hole, an isolation, the only thing they would do is make you mad enough to really do a bit and get rid of the distractions and everything else, because then you are very cognizant of your misery, if that's it. That's a matter of virtue, knowing yourself, being cognizant of yourself, but the effect of what you're going to do is decidedly outside yourself. So you're quite right. Just playing the tuba from the wrong end. don't need a candle, you don't need carvings, you don't need a damn thing except to know what the hell you're doing and why you're doing it, and why you're doing it enough. As a matter of fact, let's say that you take the word to effect poverty onto yourself without knowing what you're doing. You're trying to get rich because you're poor. Which one has got the most of your attention? The poverty you're in at the moment, or the comfort you'll have once you're rich? That's going to determine what your virtue is going to produce.
I have another question. May I ask another question?
Yeah.
May I ask a question? Okay. Shiloh, you were saying we are a living prayer of the I?
Yes, ma'am.
By that. What do you mean a living prayer?
Everything we do, it's in the scripture's clarification. That's where I got it from. Everything we do with our very breath is a living prayer unto the Most High.
But isn't prayer pertaining to religion?
I would say, can I chime in, Shalom?
You sure can, Rosalyn.
I would say, when you pray, you're talking to God. Okay, so this is to be aware that everything that you think, say, or do is talking to God. He's watching you. So to me, prayer is just a communication with God.
Beautifully said, Rosalyn.
Let me kind of interject on that too, because to pray for something also has another meaning, and this is the legal part of my training, if you will. When you do a legal brief or something, you are praying for judgment. In other words, you're asking for the judgment to come your way. So prayer is really to ask or request or to communicate, as Rosalyn said.
But Rosalyn, you phrase that beautifully.
So what you're saying,
then you just to be aware that your life, everything you do, say, or think, is on record. That's the way I do it.
Okay, that's fine. But when you use the word prayer, that's...
Well, I think the definition, like you said, the definition of prayer, to me, is just communicating with God. And I don't think a prayer has to always be a desire. You know, if I want to talk to God, if I want to be appreciative, or if I want to communicate something, just like I call you and I want to talk to you, I don't have to be always calling you, asking you for a desire. I pray for you to do this or pray for you to do that. If any time you communicate to me with the Most High, since we don't talk and like I call the phone and talk, I think my impression of prayer is that what it means is just communicating with the Most High. And if you take it into your brain or your being that, and being aware that everything you do, think, say, is all for it. So it's always a prayer to the Most High because He's watching.
Okay, no, I understand that. What I don't like is the word prayer.
Okay, let me address that. Can I address that?
Let me finish my sentence.
Let's finish the question, Shalom.
Because the word prayer is always associated with church and religion, and that is not what we're about. So if we use the word, we are communication, we are a testimony, those words like that make a lot more sense than using the word prayer.
But I think prayer existed before it was, how do you say it, before it was made discussed by the churches. Communicating with God in that way was Old Testament, and, you know, that's just a word in the English language. And before it was made nonsense by the church, prayer is just a word we use to say we communicate with God.
No, that may be true, however, because of whom, W-H-O-M, we are.
Can I
go to the church? The church is full of spirit. Oh, let you know. Stop the
hold on. Here we go. Whether it's the theory of everybody being white without having one little fact beside the point. The term we use, pray, P-R-A-Y, Anita's right about it. You're asking for something. Pray, tell me. You know, I'm asking you to tell me. But the word actually comes as a osmosis point, I guess, from the term P-R-E-Y. When you're looking for something to eat, you're still asking for something to eat. That's why you're out hunting. And you're hunting prey. So once you put that part into the game, then yes, we are a living prayer to the Most High. For those of us that are, for want of a better term, absolute area. But you don't have to necessarily be an absolute, totally, infinitely dedicated in, to the point your mind numb like a lot of hallelujah act with to be a living prayer to the Most High. But you do have to be about the business. And when any one of us that pays attention to what we're doing, we are a living prayer, but at the same time, we're also creatures of virtue. When you can read something, and like Shiloh said earlier, that I thought would have answered Kitty's question, but it didn't. When we think of a traffic light, we're throwing energy to do something with that traffic light. Well, that's a matter of the same virtue that Emmanuel felt go out of him when a woman touched his garment. It's exactly the same thing. So if we are a living prayer, and we're in direct communication with the Most High, and we put this invocation on top of Yin Yang, they are in a world of trouble, because nothing is more powerful, or more direct, or more exclusive, more refining, however you want to put it. Talk about a perfectionist. Than the Most High himself. So if we were wrong, we would have a kick in the back of our head that would tell us so by that virtue. We would know within ourselves when these things are wrong. That's a matter of virtue. When we are pissed at some socialist and we're right and we know it, that is a matter of virtue. And what we do to him is done with our virtue. But we're still, when we hit this guy with a invocation of testimony, as Pete said, like writing a brief, we're still inquiring and asking of the Most High to do this to him. Because he has it coming. You follow me? So, it's a higher refined point than just chatting over what Jesus would have done at Cana with the wine. When everybody celebrates it with grape juice, well, he didn't make grape juice, he made wine. Pure glass in the pan, stick of food, joy juice. It was not grape juice. The connoisseurs made the point, and it's in the Bible about it, that he kept the best wine for now. And that was the wine that Emmanuel had made. But how did he do that? He just put his word through. He just told him, pour water in this thing. Now go on off. We can do the same thing, but we have to get through the point of virtue. That's why this lesson is so important. It sounds vague in some places. It is not. Every point the child made at it is an 11 on the Richter scale. Every question about it is a viable hole in our understanding that we have to get to the bottom of. And I think we've done a hell of a good job on it, really. Because virtue, once you can think it within yourself, and you know what you think, that is a matter of virtue. If somebody touched you or distracted you, you would know it. It's like Emmanuel did when a woman, and she only touched his clothes. But she had her own virtue built up that is not written out in the book. She had a blood issue that really had her attention. It had it for, 12, 14 years, I forget what it says in the Bible now. And she knew that all she had to do was to touch his garment. And when he says, who touched me, everybody looked at him, he's in the middle of a crowd, who touched you? And then, of course, she knew that she was discovered, but it was her virtue that did as much of it as his. Mm-hmm. And that's why he said, your faith has made you whole. It wasn't suddenly she believed in Jesus, none of that. She knew exactly what she was doing. She knew that he was.
Bobby, I have a question. Can we use that same term, the virtue we were talking about, this energy, right? Then?
Yes.
Is this another word for the energy?
Cognizant of your own cognizant energy, for the want of a better term.
All
right. You're absolutely right.
And so everything comes back to energy.
Yes,
so virtue is just another way of saying, you know, your energy.
Right. When you feel like hell from the flu, there's energy there, all right. You know, every pain and everything in it, when you hurt from your toenails to your hair roots, you damn well know it. Your cognizance of them cause an energy that is not necessarily present, but being cognizant of it is a matter of virtue. It's like when you look at somebody and you know them to be a good person or a bad person, that's a matter of virtue. When John Lohan and I wiped out those eight state forest fires where the government got into the must burn mode, and it was in a dry season, and every goddamn one of them got away, one of them burnt down Los Alamos up here. Well, when we finally put it together, wildlife was hurting, we've got to put a stop to it. We rained out all eight of those fires in the same time frame. Rained them all out, bang, because nobody else could do anything about it. It was too dry. But we had no ritual for that.
You know, there was no ritual for it at all. We looked at it from the circumstance and the situation, and we knew. We knew what was going on. We knew that it was a government jackassing. We knew that they had to spend the money. The reason they had to spend the money is because it wouldn't have been there next year, and so forth and so on, and cost people their jobs, and the list goes on. We knew that all of those things were true. And the truth of the matter, I wasn't enough to did you do it. What was it? You just saw it fire go out? You know what we did? Well, there wasn't no visualization. There wasn't any so-called rain dance. All we did was rain.
We never even looked at a map. We didn't even look at a map to see where those different fires were.
We didn't.
But we read the energy of what these fires were doing. And the wildlife, we could feel their pain.
And what you do, you just said, fire stop. Rain. That's what we did. But you know what? We actually did one more thing. We actually did rain. But what we also had in the back of our minds by virtue of our cognizance of energy is we knew, as in K-N-E-W, knew, had knowing. That is, if it rains like it typically would rain here in New Mexico, where it would come down in a thundercloud and just gush it out, what would have ended up happening is that the ash would have gotten into the water table to destroy it. So when there was nothing that Bobby or I ever said to one another. And what happened was, we did rain, and what happened is we got hail. And the reason we got hail is there was in the middle of July, we knew that we wanted it to rain or put out the fire without damaging the land by putting lye into the water table. So when we got the hail, the bottom line is that it obeyed our command of rain and hailed. I don't know, we figured it must have been at least a foot of it. Because Bobby and I have driven back from Los Alamos, and we could see it was absolutely white like snow.
And from where we were, it had to have been at least 80 miles away. And we could see that whatever it was white. Well, the good thing about hail in that particular instance was hail is ice, and ice will melt slow, which meant that it would go into the water table slow, because the end result was there was no damage to the water table on account of it. But there was no ritual. There wasn't even time for us to make a formal invocation or do a rain dance or do anything accordingly. All we did was say, rain.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Your body?
Yeah.
Say, send to me.
Kim?
Send. P-H-I-N.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you are.
I'm
gonna ask you what you did with Roslyn. Yeah, say
sin.
This is that easy. And I should have lost 50
pounds by the next time. Yeah.
Well,
I didn't say
it was easy.
Just
for instance, you know,
we didn't.
We didn't.
We didn't.
No wind. We didn't even look at a map to see where the file was. Within our virtue, consciousness, if you want to call it, we read it. We knew that the fires were out of control, going to stay out of control. The wildlife was suffering, and it was going to suffer a hell of a lot more if we didn't stop it. So what we did was smother the fire with water. But we didn't want to wash all the hunt ashes either into the water table, per se, or into the watershed. Because wood ashes and water, if you leak them, you make lye. That's what they make ordinary kitchen lye out of. So we didn't want that, because that would do more damage to another level of wildlife. The fish were having not too much problem being downstream from the fire, but they would have had a hell of a problem if we had gully washed it. So we did that with the point we're trying to explain.
Another one that Bobby and I did, we were out in about one day looking for a scale to measure the medicines that Diane and I need for fish. And we went to a professional scale that all they do is professional super duper scales, but they didn't have the one that we wanted. But around the corner was the Acorn office, and Bobby said, well, look at what we've got here. And he did a flick of his fingers, and I did a flick of my fingers, and I said, God damn you. And that was it. There was no calling up of Earth. You know, Akasha, Air, Fire, Water, Earth. There was no Raphael, Uriel, Michael, Gabriel, Remiel, Raguel. We didn't do any of that. But the reason we didn't do any of that is because we know of birth by virtue that those things can happen. But if you take the time to match it up to everything, you know, we couldn't have gotten it done. But we took advantage of that opportunity, and 21 days later, it collapsed. That's when they got busted for that teaching people how to cheat on their income taxes, the explosion that happened. But it was 21 days, and make no mistake, there was a lot of energy built up in Acorn. It's been energy built up and pent up. But we said, look at what we got here. God damn you. And that's all it took. When we see, but here's the real important thing. When you know who you are as an Akurian, proven knower, pathfinder, or under the protection of an Akurian or proven knower, then if you're about the business of doing any of these targets, and all of these targets are all of those understandings, the Most High has required of us to hit them. All of it is explained in the as a team, and each of the, everybody realizes I am a Kurian, then any time you have an abomination before you and you have your own phrase, mine is generally God damn you, or no, I use those two, those things can be set in motion whether you have conscious recognition of it or not. And, you know, really and truly, sometimes it takes time for your own individual conscious and recognition to catch up with you.
Well, what you're saying is you're talking now about your spoken word being powerful. Enough.
Very.
But you do it silently. Flipping a white so that it turns the color you want it when you want it. You don't have to say anything to do that. It's right. It's a spoken word, but a directed thought is just as powerful as a spoken word. Now, when you take a simple oath, like we do when we're doing a blast, and if we have, everybody has their energy up so that they know what the hell they're doing, how they feel, why they feel, etc., so that you can contribute energy or direct energy into what we're trying to do, it's no wonder we have a wall of effect that we have. Not at all. Because now you've got a combined set of energy doing
oh,
all
okay.
The same virtues, all doing the same thing at the same time, like a drill team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any more than creation if you're standing at that.
I got it now. I got the connection. It's the practice of us going by the righteous power and holy authority of my own authority, you know, instead of going through all that, you're just saying that the righteous power and holy authority of my own, all that is your virtue.
Right.
Yep. Okay. All right. Now,
it's a higher level of understanding of your own I am consciousness, but when you talk about your own I am consciousness, you're talking about you.
Your virtue.
Mm-hmm. And if you know whether you feel good, feel bad, or sideways, or whatever, and you take the jerk, and if you think you're doing, you rotten son of a bitch, and slap him with a sling of fire, or whatever you want to throw at him, or nothing, you just want his ass down because you think so, he's going down. Only a
I mean, by my own virtue or by the right power and the holy authority of my own, I am kind of high rock on that. Just say my virtue.
That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
You understand?
Know,
anything about that fellow that went to jail within 30 minutes?
Yeah,
that took
me
a while to get to the point where you said, it's because of me, goddammit.
Well, that first switches from virtue to ego.
Yeah.
I have the same problem. I want the sons of bitches to know when I put one to them. But the bottom line of the thing is, we have to get to a very high state of consciousness, and virtue, for the next one we're going to kick the hell out of us. That's what this is about. Speaking of virtues, we have a couple, we haven't announced or haven't put the paperwork out. I would rather be shipping 40 miles of water than do paperwork. But Coco and Gerald have been presented to the rank of major, making them senior officers in their respective state, their state commanders. We will get their wage and stuff out to them in time. I hope it doesn't take that much longer. We're waiting for some of them. So, and they did that by a matter of virtue of just doing what an agrarian does. And we have to do these things. And we can get a hell of a lot better than we are right now. But believe me, the priest of the Egyptian mystery schools would have sold their testicles to have had this training.
And this authority.
Mm-hmm. When you think Roswell, like you said, you know, by my own righteous powers and holy authority as I, you know, yield that level, my own I am consciousness here forth and call upon now, really and truly, by your own virtue, and it'll get to the point of, you know, I'm a Kurian. And then you won't even have to think, I'm a Kurian. It's because you know you are. And then you come up with anything that you hit, any target, God damn you. And, you know, some of you will come up with your own phrase, whichever works. I happen to use no and God damn you. And the thing about it is that sometimes it just takes a little bit of time for it to get recognized. But make no mistake, every single one we've thrown into hell, they're there. And the manifestations here on the planet Earth are showing up all over the landscape. But there's always room to improve.
Always.
Yeah, because Nancy Pelosi is still cutting up, and I won't get that.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, even in her home area, is owning exactly equal popularity with British Petroleum in Louisiana. So,
but for all the stuff that we put on her, that is to be dead by now.
Well, she has a lot going for her. How many demons do you think she's carrying in her hip pockets? And they're going to protect her till hell freezes over. So we have to turn that ship entirely. But she is very unpopular as a national figure. And Dennis, I think his name is running against her, is gaining hard ground on her. He may take her out right in the election. And the energy behind that is us. And we can tell you on damn good authority that nobody believes the media or the polls anymore. Since Kitty took the time and added media to the socialist center and location only a couple of days. And Fox has some media experts on and asking why the hell nobody believes in media anymore. Well, all of that was a matter of virtue.
We can take target after target when we get in a one mind, you know, down the hill they go. And we can hit them all, and we can hit them all hard.
You know, our biggest problem, which is another problem with virtue, and we're programmed this way from day one, is that we doubt that we can do it.
I know, that's my biggest problem.
Yeah. We're scattered all over the damn country, saying the same thing. Well, here's words scattered out all over the United States. What the hell good is that doing? That doubt is a matter of virtue, and that doubt is the chink in our armor.
Right.
But we still find what we invoke for. One of our first questioning ourselves.
I know. And as a matter of fact, every time I do something and it works, I still say, now did I do that or is it going to work anyway? I am so guilty of that.
Welcome to the world. I don't have any room to talk.
Well, that's not my problem. No, no, it's not.
It works and I know it.
Yes, you do.
Lack of anger and fearless impunity.
I know that if we all had the confidence of Kitty, Well, the bottom line is that any invocation of truth or invocation by virtue, when we conduct ourselves with righteous anger and fearless impunity, and the thing is that it's okay to be marveled at when it works. It's okay.
Yeah, and I'll do the happy dance and then say, now did I do that?
Was that really me? Or was that going to happen anyway? If I had the confidence of Kitty and the braveness of Bobby, I would be unstoppable.
My philosophy is remain cowardly at all costs.
I put
Kitty's bravery second only to Bobby's.
On the virtue again, is it equal? Does everybody have the same amount, or do some have more than others, or do we as the curious have more than others, and why?
Well, the first thing, the curious have more than others because of a true and righteous character of a curious. No one is an curious because they were drafted. And all of us, to some degree, regardless of the motivation behind it, are occurrence because we were looking for truth and willing to accept it works all.
Yeah.
The people that are out with Jesus in one hand and hallelujah in the other, they don't want truth, they want a rubber stamp, and they ain't going to get it. Ain't happening. Well, none of us in this organization are that way. Are there things that go on that we don't like? Yeah. And the thing that I don't like most is what I don't understand, don't have a handle on. A mystery of why is this working? What the hell's going on here? Has always been the bone of contention with me. If this works, why does it work? Why doesn't it not work? For instance, a thousand instances over the ages. And I remember as a young student, for the want of a better term, when I was studying electricity, I could go through the parts of a tube and tell you every part in it, its Q, all of its measurements and everything else. From the cathode to all the different grids, what they did, why they did it, the voltage they ought to have on, the plates, the filaments, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. The type of gas within it, the different structures. And didn't have a clue of how it worked. And I could mount it as soon as anybody. But when I once got the hammer on it, so that I got what I call inside the tube, when I finally understood how it worked, everything in electronics came clear. And yet today, I will look at something and not understand a damn thing about the technology of it, like a transistor, for instance, that anyone can, you know, that they put into our computers in a chip that we used to have 5 and 6 rooms of tubes and stuff to do. They've got it in a chip so small it takes a microscope to see it, and we manufacture that thing. Well, when I look at this dramatic on it, well, what in the hell is that supposed to represent? Because it sure ain't supposed to look like was in a tube. But yet I know exactly what that chip is going to do and how it does it. I can understand it. I wouldn't be able to explain it and give you the engineering math on it. But you don't need that if you understand it. It's like when Shalom said, get the egg. No one mentioned something to stir the egg with or to cook it. But yet it was there. Because of the common sense of your virtue. Same thing with me on that. Yes. And I have no idea how to explain. explain this thing so that all of us can have exactly, and that's the key word right there, exactly the same perception, for instance, of a Nephilim when we're going to have to fight them. The only way you can do that is pull one of them up, study them, so that you know what a Nephilim feels like to you. But that may not be exactly the same thing as a Nephilim would feel like to me, because of the difference in our capabilities of reading a spirit or feeling a, sensing a, an entity to start with. Those of us that do the most reading are going to have an entirely different view than those of us that don't have very much, simply because we have an experience factor. But the beautiful part is, once you get yours, and everybody's got theirs, and somebody says Nephilim, you're putting a hurting in these ads, because in your mind you know exactly what you're targeting, and that's a matter of virtue, and they cannot escape it. There's nowhere for them to run. And a curious is just damn near, like say, to the edges of creation, and where they can reach. And we don't even know where the hell the edge of creation is. But we can sense it. Everyone can do that. One of the experiments that I did early in teaching Shiloh, I asked her to sit still enough that she could see the earth move. Try that one. That's an experience. And the first thing you realize is, once you can get down and realize that you're seeing the earth move, and feeling it move with you sitting perfectly still on it, and the stiller you sit, the better, you realize that it's not only spinning on its axis and going around the sun in orbit, it's actually moving 19 different directions at once that we know of, and you sense it almost immediately. You know that there's more than two directions in it. It's a matter of your virtue, a matter of experience. And when we put that kind of stuff together among all of us, the Nephilim have got a problem. They got a big problem.
Jesse, I forgot what your question was now. What was your question? Can you say it again?
Well, I asked if it was equal doing it. Is it equal? Does everyone get their own dose of virtue? Or do some people have more than the other?
No, just the result more. In other words, if we've both been standing on the same set of scales all of our life, we'd weigh the same by virtue. The fact that Kitty can read energy better than half of the world doesn't mean that the other half of that world that can't read it couldn't learn how to do it if they wanted to pay the same dues that she did. It is not coming of its own accord.
Jesse, I have a question to ask you. When you dealt with your friend, did you call up Akasha, Air, Fire, Water, Earth, and all the archangels?
I didn't call these angels, but I was actually, I was working on the invocation, and it kept coming up, distracting me during my practice. So, I was doing Earth, Air, and White Fire, I was trying to practice, but it just kept, I know that in my life that I've been the one is was playing the body of life, they can't go by itself, but the other is the two get there and constantly doing it if we don't want to do it. So we need to be trained so that we're not wastingly, you know, putting somebody away without knowing that we can do it.
Well, the one thing we never consider, there's a very well rehearsed piece of programming that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a deliberate misprogramming. But we've learned it as children.
Yeah. You're right about that. I never thought about that one. But that's true.
Well, on the evening, when we've come in from work to prove it, that on a wrong count was always out after everybody. And when we came into the outside dormitory, into the big barracks, the dining hall was off to the left. And somebody, I don't remember who the hell it was now, made some remark or something back and forth as these guys are always trying to outbait one another. And one guy said that went through that, you know, sticks and stones can break my bone, it works, you never hurt me or something like that. And somebody spoke up that was sitting there at one of the tables. And he said, the hell works can hurt you. I got 25 years to lie about something. I don't remember what the hell it was now. They have funny. And somebody asked me, and I said, what do you think, Cunningham? I said, it depends on the quality of the word. Of course, that went over 90% of their head, and we went on into the dining hall and thought no more about it. But by 2 o'clock in the morning, when everybody had woke up, because of the news stuff that came on, some could say, you ought to see this, you know, but it was being covered somewhat on local news then, even on television that way. And by the time we got ready to go out for long count earlier that morning, it was still dark when we got up and got breakfast. Everybody, no one was sitting next to me. Everybody was at least on the other side of the table from me. Everybody looking at this great son of a bitch, because of what I had said. Well, that was a matter of words. Taking it back. Well, I told them. Yeah.
And may I also add about what Jesse said. It sounds like she was saying that she's afraid that her words might misdirect and do something that she didn't mean for it to do. And I think that goes back to, number one, the virtue and the fact that I think they said that we can pronounce it on people, but if it's not righteous, it won't happen to them.
Well, that's right. Let's say we're just all on a goddamn tangent and throw a hammer into somebody who's innocent. Nothing is going to happen. But let's say that we do something and we decide, no, I really don't want to do that. If we catch it before it's manifest, we can stop it. And the sooner we catch it, the easier it is to stop. You get something that's already over the edge and not going to happen to become manifest, and you can still stop it in theory. But you're going to spend a hell of a lot more energy stopping it than it took to start it. But so if we get somebody intentionally wrong and we change our mind, the sooner we do something about it, the better, because then we can pull it back. We really can do that with the same force and firepower that we started it with. But at the same time, let's say that we're talking about somebody that has made us mad as hell to go, well, hell, that's not worth it, you know. We can actually pull that energy back after we've done a thing. But then if we hit somebody that maybe made us mad as hell and we needed it, you can't do anything to them.
equal to when they say you can put up, when you put out a request, like if you're asking for, you ask for the things that you want in life instead of money, and then the forces will deliver it the best way. So if you said take care of him or I want him out of my way, then and no harm done, then jail just might be it, because maybe he was getting ready to get shot on the street.
Who knows?
You know? So sometimes you don't understand how it will be delivered, but if you're in righteous accord, then it will be taken care of the best way.
And I know that. And which is a thing when what I'm so glad I'm with the group, though, is that if you know that and can you see it all the time, then we have a responsibility to do something more with that. And I just want to thank, and I want to thank you guys, the teachers who have been teaching me for the last 6-9 months, both of you guys who spoke tonight, because you both have different ways of saying what needs to be done, and you both taught us different ways, but both of them are necessary. To get us to where we need, because to me, I feel like we have a responsibility. One thing is to know that we can invoke things, make things happen. But you know, the real thing is that we have the opportunity to change the world. And I'm just fortunate to be with you guys, because I felt alone. It's not a lot. I asked about how many people were diverse to, and maybe to different things, but it doesn't seem like a lot of people know that we have the power to do this.
Well, that's right. Anyone that thinks.
But a lot of people don't want to know it.
That's right. And the people who don't want anyone else to know it.
Right. Because if you just go out there and try to tell somebody, and they ain't going to want to hear it. Because if you didn't say it and do it in Jesus' name, then you're the devil, honey.
Simple as that. And then the bastards that monitor us all the time, they can't do it, but they see us doing it, so they really don't want anyone else to know that we can do it. But I'll bet you, and I've created my interest in hell on this one, that every one of the politicians that we've targeted has been briefed that the occurrence of got you targeted. And these people could really tie your ass in a square knot. But we've seen too much fireworks out of some of them, and there's no way in hell we didn't send them a book or anything. So where in the hell did they get the information that we have put in our conversations about them? So we know we're monitored all over the damn place.
And the invitation is out. You know, and that's what, when I first came in, that's what I had a problem with. When Bobby and Dave Lewis and them told me, well, that there's not a lot of people who want to know that, want to hear it. And I was like, I was sure they were wrong. I was so sure they were wrong until I started trying to tell people and saw the kind of response I got.
Yep. Surprised they want to hear it. Runs the mouth that they do want to hear it. But they really don't.
They want you to tell them what they believe.
Yeah. They want a rubber stamp for their delusions.
That's why there's not a lot of people who know it. I mean, I think the angelic setup was to identify anybody who would listen. And they would have been sent to Bobby or to somebody that could show them the way, if they were open to it.
Well, most of them are not.
And I think it takes a sense of commitment. I found Bobby 10 years ago, and at first it was hard to take, but I will also say when we found the truth, a lot of weird things started happening to me. And I wasn't ready for it. But again, when I asked for the truth again, they sent me the body, and now I'm ready. I'm more prepared to deal with it because the weird things happen more. But I'm more adult.
I think we all want similar stuff, but I think it's that desire to know the truth. Somebody hears that. I think they got angels set up all around to reach you, and anytime somebody shows, that's the prayer or whatever goes up, that your communication or something in your thought pattern that you want to know the truth, it'll come to you.
still fine.
Mm-hmm. It's not a matter that when you're ready, your teacher will arrive. That's Orsha. When you're ready for the truth to accept it, probably three quarters of the information you have in yourself at the moment, or in any one moment up to that point, is pure bullshit. So you don't need a teacher to do that. All you've got to do is just go back and think it out. So you don't need a teacher other than yourself. But you do have to apply common sense, your thought process, and your spiritual ability, and you can develop those on your own. You really don't need a guru out there to show you all these so-called mysteries with vague generalizations and world dripping with honey horseshit, all that nonsense. The people that attract those are the people that want those. Those who want the cold hard truth. I better get prepared for it, because truth's not always free.
It's not. That's the problem.
That is a big problem. The world dripping with honey is a far bigger problem to me than the harsher truth.
And the truth is ugly. The truth is ugly many times.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And the truth wears an ugly head.
Yeah, I know, but practice is on me. About as ugly as it gets. But the bottom line of the damn thing is, if you want the truth, you don't. And when you've made up your mind, you've told your innate, I'll take this much, but no more. And no wonder these guys are hung up and hollering horseshit. They've already said, well, this has been going on for 2,000 years, it must be true.
If it was good for my dear old mother, it was good enough for me.
Yep.
Give me that old time religion.
Yep, same old bullshit.
It didn't work for grandma, so it ain't going to work for you.
Yeah. I put it in their ass. I said, hell, do you know that there's still a flat birth society? And it has over 3,000 members. It's active today in England. They used to have a branch in Washington, D.C. So people can believe anything they want. Belief is a great cop-out if you want to avoid the truth. Great cop-out in the world. But the moment you have to know and you have to be able to deliver it, all at once, you're standing next to the misery of the Aquarians, that's what we have.
Well, it's, to me, it's almost like that, what was that movie? Where they say you take the red pill if you want to know the truth and,
The Matrix.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Most people want to take the pill that tells them that they were a king in their whole life and we're always dripping with honey and I don't want to know the truth. Who's all still in?
Oh, I'm still here.
He's still here.
Triple there.
You'd be on a freeway.
I am here,
Jesse.
Okay.
Gerald's on. Gerald, are you still aboard? I think I heard his phone click out a while ago.
Let's see. Ernie, you've been kind of quiet. Is there a question or a comment or something that you need to ask?
I was going to
suggest is go read the scriptive clarification, because it is explained in there, too.
My question on the prayer is why, no, not the prayer, but the use of the word prayer.
I understand that, and where it's really clarified up for you is in the scriptive clarification.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Trudy. Is it a problem with you using the word God or Spirit or something like that? Because Krishna views those also.
Yes, but we know that God is here.
Right, but we all say the same words. But
yeah, but this
prayer, God, Spirit.
Wait a minute. There's a big difference when we know or when they believe. There's a big difference between that.
Okay, well, we know the word pray means to ask for.
Yes, but we don't really pray. Our invocations are to get results, and we're using our own power to do that.
Okay, so what you got in your mind then is when you hear pray, you hear folding your hands, looking up, getting on your knees, looking up to the sky just like the Christians do, and that is not prayer. That is the ritual that Christians go through. What pray means is to ask for. When you write a legal brief, you say we pray for judgment. You're not getting on your knees, holding your hands together, and looking up to the sky. So,
I know that, but I never used that word pray in a brief, because I always thought, no, I don't want to pray for this.
Well, the context of the scriptive clarification, it's kind of the way I interpreted it, and of course that you won't find your own, because we have, remember, in this instruction, everybody is going to have to go back and think through what they think they mean. And in the scriptive clarification, the word is, their prayers are a living prayer unto the Most High.
Wait a minute,
so
we're living testimony.
We're that too. We can be more than one thing, but the scriptive clarification says we're a living prayer unto the Most High and our very breath. So the context, if you get a chance to go and review that, it might solve the problem for you. If it doesn't, then we'll have a conversation.
No, it's not.
You should hear the way they use testimony in the church. They've really just desecrated the whole meaning of all of it. When they testify, they're a testament to this or that. You know, it's the same words, but they probably...
I understand what you're saying. But when I listen to Bobby, when Bobby says, we are a testimony against them, okay? That's what testimony means to me. I gave up the church when I was 9 years old.
Well, the word testimony...
Wait a minute. I need to finish this. When Bobby says we are a testimony against them, that word testimony does not mean the same as testimony in the church. It means totally something different.
Same way with this.
Like evidence in a trial. We are living evidence against.
Exactly.
And what I would add to that is the possible correction that we are a testimony of this generation. Whatever anybody does makes it be a for or against. And right now, we are a testimony of the generation against the Democrats, against the socialists, etc. But we are of the generation. However they make it be, it's a for. And it is, if I'm not mistaken, it is also in the AED.
If you want to know, I might be able to pull up all of the references of where it's at. Jesse, is everything good with you?
Oh yeah, I'm fine. Get the fire set now.
Okay. And, Pete, did you have any questions?
Well, I've got a good comment. This has been the longest session in a while. It's got the most in it. We started at 8 here, and it's 10 o'clock here now. So this has been a real hellraiser. A lot of good information changed hands. Well, then.
And, well, I wanted to make sure we got Kitty. Kitty, you know, I know that there's some thinking that needs to be done to address some of your concerns. Kitty, are you still in?
Yeah, I am, and I was just thinking that exact same thing. I'm gonna give it a full head of thought for a little while because I think there's something beyond what we've discussed. It was an introduction
into doing things by virtue.
Yeah.
Larry, are you still in? Oh, I'm sorry, Bonnie. I'm just trying to get through everybody.
Yeah, I know. Kitty made a point a while ago about this source internal that could be used external. She's absolutely right. That's the next level of understanding of literature and how it works. That's what Emmanuel did. And he's not been able to do external. Either damn sure never know internal. You have to have one to have the other, but you have to learn how to use them both separately. We'll do that. Okay, who else is on the order list?
Pete, do you have anything to say? And keep those things, each thing open so Andrea can answer. Pete, are you still there?
Hello.
Do you have any questions or concerns?
I have none. Andrea, if you have anything, Andrea's had the chain in through me, so.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, Danny, are you still in? Because I think maybe Danny popped out too.
Pretty sure he did.
Danny? Coco, are you there? I don't remember if Coco popped in.
Yeah, Coco.
I've been here all the while.
Oh, Coco, do you have any questions or concerns?
No, we're fine.
Okay. Did I get everybody?
I think everybody who has something.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rosalind. And do you have any other?
I think that it was interesting, and you did a good job, and start evoking. And this time, I took a nap before I. got on the call, so I'm a little more alert and awake, so it was a good session.
Well, thank you to everybody, and I guess that's a good enough one, and we'll close.
Yep.
All right. Well, good night, everybody, and have a good one.
Yep.
Okay.
Good night.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.